Hey, yes, 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 we are live, we are live, we are live. What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Pill Podcast, where Black creators are faced with
a dose of reality.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am your host, OBJ, and we're joining by a special guest here tonight. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, beautiful people. My name is Esther. I am a fashion designer, content creator, and model, and I'm very happy to be here.
Hey, you know, honorable applause. Yes. All right, so today's Black Pill topic is modern pop culture, right? So I know that's like a broad topic, you know, so we're going to kind of narrow it down as to specific things, specific questions that pertains to the modernization of pop culture today. You know, what's current, what's trendy, all that type of jazz. But before we get into that, you know, make sure it's on the, you know, it's on our screen, you know, IG and our TikTok, but, you know, make sure that you follow us at the Black Pill Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Black Pill Society. Make sure you press that notification bell so you get notified every time when we're about to go live or we're about to drop a video and things of that nature. So make sure you follow and support, you know? The next thing is this week's check-in. So Esther, how's your week been? You know, how you doing physically, mentally, spiritually, all that type of jazz. But how's your week has been?
So overall, my week has been good. Yesterday, however, was a particularly challenging day. Like March just came in like a storm and I was not expecting. It was like one thing after another. Yeah. Doing much better today, though. God gave me a brighter day today, thankfully. As far as physical health, I've been working out lately. I try to be really good about my physical fitness, but for the last week or so, I've been exercising consistently. So physically, I think we're 10 out of 10 for sure.
Hey, that's dope. That's good to hear. You know, amen to that. My week has been pretty good. So last Sunday, I was at a content party. It was really amazing experiences, met like exceptional people, you know, content creators, things of that nature, work schedule, things of that nature, you know, getting ready for the podcast, booking people, you know, working on my designs because I'm working on opening up a clothing line. So I've been working on that type of stuff. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. It's just things that like, It's just baby steps, you know, one day at a time, you know what I'm saying? So I'm really grateful for, you know, just being able to wake up another day and just to kind of work on your craft, work on your passions and things like that. So my week has been pretty pleasant. It's been pretty pleasant, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So the next thing that's, you know, the next segment is called, it's called the Black Pill Entertainment or What's Trending Black This Week. So. So yes, sir. What's trending black this week? So we're going to get into throughout the week what has been circulating around the black community and things that we've, you know, heard throughout social media and the media and things of that nature. The first thing I want to bring up is, you know, happy Women's History Month. You know what I'm saying? So we just came off from Black History Month and now we're in Women's History Month and things like that. So how do you feel, Esther, about as we're transitioning into the month of March of Women's History Month?
So truthfully, I didn't know what Women's History Month was until about 4 years ago. I didn't even know that Women's History had its own month. So that was very exciting. Into March or going into Women's History Month, I'm always looking forward to see like different things that are going to happen. And it really, you know, I'm someone who works in marketing. So I'm always on the lookout for different ways that women in history are being honored in the media and also trying to figure out ways that I can also honor them through my own content and through my own platform too.
Hey, dope. Yeah, for me, I wasn't too aware of it being Women's History Month until maybe like, you know, I think yesterday, obviously the first day of it. But when I went on social media and then people started posting about it, because I was just like, it's Women's History Month. Because I just treat it as another day, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, shout outs to the women that paved the way into our history and then, you know, to make considerable changes and things like that. So, you know, shout out to them, you know, shout out to the women out there, you know what I'm saying? Especially the Black women, you know what I'm saying? The next thing is Dreamville Festival. J. Cole and Drake in the lineup. Esther, what's your thoughts about that?
I am a large J. Cole fan, and I've never been to Dreamville Fest, but I am aware of it happening. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw Drake on the lineup, I was a little surprised, because when you think of J. Cole, you don't really think of Drake. At least I don't personally. But I feel like it's really exciting. And to have Drake on the lineup at your festival is a big deal anyway. So I'm really happy for J. Cole, because I think that'll definitely bring in a new crowd of people for him.
Hey, dope. Yeah, for me, when I became aware of it, because I'm always big on J. Cole. Like, I grew up on his mixtapes, on his albums and everything like that. Way before, you know, Drake was a thing and everything like that. So, you know, obviously I'm cool with Drake. I like his music, everything like that. He has really popular songs. And I'm always looking forward to their albums, you know, respectfully on both ends. You know, always when J. Cole's about to drop an album, I'm just like, yo, I'm looking forward to it. When Drake about to drop an album, I'm looking forward to it. And to have them like both into a festival, I won't be at the festival. I wish I was at the festival. You know what I'm saying? But to have them like those big artists in the festival, it was like a big thing. Like, so the one thing that I kept in mind is like the energy that they're going to bring. When they come into these festivals and things like that. So, you know, I think they're just two amazing artists that has like great stage presence and stuff. And then to have their songs interchangeable and things like that is like, I think it will be a really dope festival. So, you know, I'm looking to see maybe highlights and things of that nature, because, you know, somebody's going to record something, you know what I'm saying?
It's going to be so. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the next thing I want to bring up is, if you heard about it, Zendaya, 1 million per episode on Euphoria season 3.
As she should.
So, have you been watching Euphoria, and what did you take about when you heard about this news about her getting 1 million per episode?
I am an avid Euphoria watcher. I think I watched the first season about a year or so after it came out, and I was hooked because I've seen Zendaya in Disney and more kid-friendly roles and like softer roles. But to see her in a role that's so grungy and real and hard-hitting, I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl has range. She's beautiful and she's talented. But seeing her do Euphoria kind of opened up my eyes to how talented she really is. And especially in the second season, personally, I feel like she carried that season compared to season one. Season two definitely fell flat. The writer of that show, I don't even want to get into it. He has squandered so many storylines, but Rose has always stayed true. And just seeing the amount of effort and energy that she gives to this role, I feel like she's 100% deserving of $1 million or even more. Absolutely.
Hey, dope. So I don't really watch it. I heard a lot of things about it as far as like how sexually explicit it is. And there was also, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, like, you know, just the weird age and appearance dynamic, because they're in high school, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a lot to see high school kids doing the things that they're doing, but that's kind of the reality of the show, or the harsh reality that presents. A lot of teenagers nowadays are doing the things that are presented in that show, whether people like to believe it or not.
Yeah, because I'm not going to deny that there's things that's, you know, some crazy things that happen in high school. Even if I remember back in my high school days, like there were some things that people was doing in staircases, hallways, bathrooms, you name it. I'm happy for it, because, like, you know, to see another star like that, just to kind of, you know, get her bread and everything like that, and just to have another season open up, you kind of just like, it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? It's like to step into that role, to kind of embrace it. And not only just from a money standpoint, also her personality, like something about her personality is very like magnifying. Is like people love her. People, you know, I feel like if I was to meet her, like she'll be another homie to me and things like that. Like somebody cool to just hang out and things like that. So, you know, kudos to her as far as like, you know, reaching those levels, especially like, you know, accolades and everything like that, just to raise to the occasion and to like to step into the light and to just like, you know, be more recognized for her work and also for her name and things like that. The next thing I want to bring up is Kid Cudi dropping album this dropping album this year. So there's been in and out noises with Kid Cudi and things like that. You know, one day you hear about him, next day he's like kind of gone for a while and things like that. So he goes through his, you know, his moments and things like that. But when you heard about this, about Kid Cudi dropping his album, what was your thoughts about it?
I was excited because I kind of became a Kid Cudi fan 4 years ago, because my boyfriend, he is like probably Kid Cudi's number one fan. So naturally I ended up started listening to his music, and he's really good at conveying emotion in his albums. A lot of artists, or, you know, when it comes to being a rapper and being more masculine in your music, he's not scared to be vulnerable. And that's something that I really like about his music. And I remember he did an interview last year, you know, after he came off of his tour and having his own festival, he kind of said he was ready to step away from music and get more into film and get more. And so I was like, oh my gosh, are we done getting music from him? So when he, you know, said that he was going to have some singles in the summer and then an album in the fall, was like a sigh of relief, because he's not done sharing with the world. So I was personally excited to hear that he has more music coming, for sure.
Yeah, because like outside from like the certain emotions that he was going through to himself and things like that, I think that oftentimes where we kind of anticipating like albums or songs is like, okay, at least in my mind, like what are certain things that they're going through, or they want to finally, you know, just take a break from music, or they want to come back to it and things like that. So I think that a lot of people kind of focus more on like, yeah, like, you know, he's dropping another album, I want to listen to his music. And it kind of caters to like certain audience when it comes to his music and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, I always appreciate, obviously, you know, the earlier Kid Cudi days, his albums and everything like that. But to see his kind of his growth and progression to still kind of make music, regardless of whatever battles or whatever things that he's going through, it kind of shows like more of a testament to him and a testament to also to the audience and his fans and things like that. So. Yeah. I think that, you know, that's one thing that I kind of like aware of as far as the artist's well-being, you know what I'm saying? And so when he dropped, when he announced it, when he was saying like, you know, the singles in the summer, you know, summer is not too far, you know, apart, you know what I'm saying? We're about to enter into spring. Summer is right there around the corner. So I'm looking forward to it, because I want to see what kind of music he's going to kind of encompass in this album and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to it. So the next or the last thing that I want to bring up is, you probably heard of it, maybe or maybe not. Michael B. Jordan called Courtney. So he had an interview by somebody that knew him during his high school days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, you know, with his release of Creed 3 about to come out with Jonathan Majors and things like that. I look forward to seeing it, because I've been watching Creed 1. I watched Creed 2. Well, so, yeah. So, like, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Creed 3. I just feel like, you know, if I'm seeing all of it, I just got to see all of it. You know what I'm saying? But did you hear about his interview, and then also with the lady about his high school? You know, they're not friends, but somebody that he knew back then. And here's the thing, like, because she didn't technically call him corny. The other lady in the podcast called her a corny, but she the one that interviewed it, did find him to like bully him and call him names and things like that. So it kind of like, I guess, worked interchangeably as far as the name calling of corny.
It's just a big culmination of you know, it's bullying is kind of what it is. And I feel like that's something that we see a lot with artists, because, you know, actors are artists. With creators, when they're younger, they kind of have a sense of who they're going to be. And they were making fun of him because he had his headshot with him when I read some of the excerpt from an interview. That's how it was explained. And it's like, he's not corny. He's confident. He was very, he knew he had a purpose. And he knew he was going to be something bigger than what he was at that time. And everybody couldn't see that. And I feel like that's relevant to a lot of people. So I don't believe that he's corny. No, he's not corny. He just wasn't well received among his peers when he was younger. And now that they're all existing in the same circles, they're kind of like, okay, maybe not. Maybe he was on to something. So no, he's not, I don't believe he's corny first. Now, he is a little nerdy sometimes when he talks about anime and stuff like that, but that's not a crime to be a nerd and to have interest in stuff like that. But no, I don't believe he's corny.
Yeah, because, like, you know, shout out to my nerds out there, because, you know, I'm into anime and all that type of shout out to them all. You know, and it was a time period when obviously they was called corny and, like, you know, they would get bullied or called lame or whatever because they was into whatever they was into at the time. And I think that, like, you know, because I talked to somebody about the term corny. I was just like, I feel like corny carried, like, generally a negative connotation to it. And then over time, some women or some people will find, no, I like the corny people, like, regardless of how it's phrased and things like that. But generally speaking, corny never carried too much of a positive meaning to it. And then now that, like, you know, being a nerd or being into comics or Marvel or anime, whatever the case may be, is, like, you know, becoming more of a popular thing now. I think the word corny is kind of like deemed in other ways, as far as maybe his personality, the way they carry themselves, or things of that like. So that's what I thought about as far as, like, the whole term and stuff. Like, I'm not saying, like, the interviewer, I forgot her name, was calling her corny, but just the fact that just being bullied for just liking something different is
carrying yourself differently. Because I know, you know, for me, I was always into, like, artsy things and stuff like that. And I got called weird, which I feel like sometimes weird and corny can be interchangeable. People don't know the word they're looking for to describe someone. So I definitely understand, like, the being called or being looked at that when you're younger. But then as you get older and you're kind of blossoming, people are like, oh, okay, maybe that person isn't, maybe that person isn't corny. They were just expressing their interest. And as they grow up, you continue to see those interests. And now that liking anime and stuff, like you said, is popular, it's not so weird anymore.
exactly. So that concludes this segment of the Black Pill Entertainment, or What's Trending Blacks this week. And now we're going to get into the topic of discussion. So first thing I want to put up is, what comes to mind? So when you thought about this topic, what comes to mind? Just keep it brief, a few sentences, a phrase, a word, anything that comes to mind when you thought about modern pop culture.
Probably things I see on the internet, because that's how I consume most of my culture, pop culture news. So a lot of internet discourse came to mind.
Okay. I think for me, I was thinking about the progression of pop culture. It has broadened. It has so many different categories, so many different fields. Whether that's a good or bad thing, that's something that we're going to, you know, dive into later on. But I thought about how much it has expanded into our culture, not in just American culture, but, you know, worldwide and things like that. So that was something that came to mind when I thought about it. There's some things that, I'm not going to lie, it's, like, weird to me, but there's other things that I felt like it is creating that connection and that conversation piece and something that people could relate to. So that's what I thought about when I came up with this topic, modern pop culture. The first question: what is one major influence in pop culture that has shaped your personality? So when we think about, you know, TV, media, news, the internet, like we mentioned before, anime, comics, anything of that nature, the news, what is one major, like, influence that kind of like that you believe kind of shaped your personality?
I feel like music is a huge like thing that shaped my personality, more specifically like growing up, like in the elementary, middle school point of my life, I saw a lot of really interesting and exciting women in music. And I feel like seeing, mm-hmm. for example, I think of like Lady Gaga and I think of like Nicki Minaj and artists like that, even Tyler, the Creator, like artists who are all about self-expression, they made mm-hmm. me feel better about being a creative and expressing myself, whether it's through my clothes or through things that I create. Definitely, there are several musicians and people within the music space that come to mind. Them telling their stories through music resonated with me or spoke to my personal experiences. So I feel like that played a role in who I am today and how I came to be the person I am.
And what would you say was like the starting age or year around that time period when you felt like it really kind of shaped the, you know, the person that the Esther that was before and the Esther that was after?
So like I kind of mentioned to this girl, I'm kind of shy. Like I'm pretty reserved into myself. And for example, yeah. in elementary school, we had uniforms. They weren't mandatory, but I just decided to wear the uniforms to take the stress off myself to try to put an outfit together. But on Fridays, we could wear whatever. But once I progressed into middle school around 11, 12, I got more experimental with clothes because I was seeing, you know, these artists performing and I'm like, oh, those outfits are so cool. Oh, they're going out in public in this stuff. So I can go out in public in, for example, a colorful tutu, which I absolutely did all the time and feel okay. good about myself. So going into middle school, I definitely got more into the self-expression and coming out of my shell more for sure, 100%.
Okay, dope. I think for me, I would say it would have to be, one is art and the other one will be like cartoon and anime. Those are the two pivotal parts that played as me growing up as a kid. It kind of shaped a little bit of more so my personality because art was my oasis. Art was my way of like, you know, if a lot of things is going on in school, like I could rely on art, you know, to give me that peace of mind, to focus, to even find joy in it at times. Whether it's 4, 5, 6 hours of the day and I'm not even thinking about food. I'm just like, I'm locked into my drawings and things like that. So art was one. And the other one was definitely anime and cartoon. I was big on anime and cartoon growing up.
What was your favorite? What was your number one when you were younger?
Oh, man. Like, it would have to be Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was it for me. And I'm talking about like, I know I love definitely watching Power Rangers and Pokemon and SpongeBob, of course, and just so many, like anything you could list, I was a fan. I was more big on Cartoon Network, then it transitioned down to me to like Nickelodeon, then Disney Channel, things like that. And cartoon, I don't know, I was just very like enamored by Cartoon Network for some reason.
Cartoon Network had the sauce for a real long time. Like they were yes. running the cartoon game for a minute. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm talking about even classics. When you're talking about like, I don't know, like the Bugs and Bunny and
Tom and Jerry is my favorite classic cartoon.
Tom and Jerry, the Looney Tunes, just so many different classics. I'm thinking about Dexter.
Johnny Bravo was another one too.
Johnny Bravo was cool, but then I got kind of tired of it kind of quickly. But he was cool. But all of that because like it made me felt a little bit more animated. It made me felt more expressive of like, you know, I could still be a kid again. And I'm still a kid because even though like me growing up, I grew up like in a really tough childhood. Like I had my mature side of myself, but watching cartoons made me just kind of bring back that balance of like, no, like still be a kid, like still enjoy. Yeah. Even waking up in the morning, watching 7 a.m., 8 a.m. cartoons or WB11 or 4 Kids yeah. or whatever, things like that. Like I'll be like getting my alarm clock ready. Like, no, I'm gonna watch it at this time. So just having that excitement kind of influenced my personality a lot because it made me felt like, you know, I could tell jokes, I could be goofy. I can be a lot more expressive about myself as far as that jovial side of me and that curiosity. And even like the curiosity of just learning certain lessons within those cartoons and stuff, not just the fun part about it, but just seeing like, yo, like, this is really dope. This is intriguing. Like, I'm trying to figure things out because I'm always like a thinker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like, okay, what's going to happen next? So this and things. I'm just trying to like, you know, guess like if it's Scooby-Doo, like who's the villain or whatever the case may be. Like, I just love that thought process of like, you know, being so engaged in just a television show and things like that. So I think majority of my influence that shaped my personality was art, definitely the creativity side of me, and definitely cartoons and anime. The next question, how has pop culture helped you cultivate relationships such as family, friends, workers in your environment?
Well, I feel like specifically for a lot of the friends that I have, we came to know each other based on our common interests in film and in television and things like that. For example, one of my best friends, I met her one night at an event. It was like a pop-up that was happening. And I never met her before, but we weren't feeling the party that was happening because I'm not a party person personally. So you want to go outside and just chat it up? So we were outside talking about music. We were talking about TV. We were talking about fashion for like the entire course of the event. And then after that, we've been best friends ever since. So I feel like having common interests with people and like some of the things that I enjoy, that's helped me to make a lot of friends. As far as my family, when I live away from my family now, but up until the age of 18, I was at home all the time. I thank God for my family. They're such a huge support system, but we're really big on spending time together, watching television, even playing board games. Like even like with my mom nowadays, I'm like her weekly check-in for what's happening in the news, and I'll tell her what I'm seeing and like, oh, did you hear what happened with this? So I feel like pop culture also definitely plays a role within my family as well.
Yeah. And I think for me, there's another part, a major part too, was video games. Video games was another big part. I don't know how I missed that. I'm talking about like, you know, playing that Nintendo 64, that Mario Kart, that Diddy Kong,
the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, all of it.
Yep, and I think the connection I had more so was with my brother, because when my father would come in from work and he would just, you know, throw us a bunch of like Nintendo 64 games that he brought us, the ones that we highly suggested, you know, we had to keep reminding him like, this is the name of this game, can you please buy this or whatever. It just created such a connection between me and my brother and my sister too. Like, she was into video games a little bit too, and she'll be excited just to watch us play and things like that. And then, you know, she's, you know, our little sister, so she'd be like, I want to play and things.
That was me. I have an older brother and then I have a twin brother. Like, let me get the remote too, like I want to start.
Yeah. So even though she wasn't really good at it, but you know, we had to make a play and things like that. But I think that was a big part of like, you know, our family dynamic is just of having that shared interest of like playing video games together, watching cartoons together, you know, talking about the cartoons, like, hey, what you thought about this, what you thought about that, or whatever the case may be. I think that was the beautiful dynamic of like, the pop culture is like cultivation of like, you know, even though we're not talking about the everyday life things or whatever, that brought us closer as far as like that shared interest and things like that. So that was pretty dope.
I kind of want to pick up on what you said with the video games. That made me think too. My parents actually introduced me to video games, to be honest. My mom is like, she was really big on the Nintendo 64. Her favorite game was Tetris, and she dusted it off and I was like, let's play Tetris. Like, my mom is a Tetris whiz, and she taught us to play Tetris. She put us onto that game. My dad, PlayStation 1, that was the console that he loved so much. He gave us like his book of all of his old PS1 games. Like, I think you all will enjoy these. And he gave us a console to play them on, and he would come over sometimes and play them with us. So I definitely resonate to the video game part too.
Yeah. And I think that even though like those times where like we had to keep up with our grades and everything like that, just to like, you know, having to keep playing these video games or things like that, It just shows that, like, it showed that dynamic of family, like, ties and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Friends, I think just the common thing was, you know, anime for me, like, when it came to, like, even me before not knowing certain cartoons was anime at the time, and just, you know, talking with my friends and just, you know, thinking about, you know, I guess conspiracy theories or theories or whatever the case would be with anime. And just our joy, just like, you know, when we'd be at lunchtime or when we sometimes be in class, we'd be talking about it or whatever, things like that. And so I think that shared cultivation with my friends is like the anime, you know, even playing basketball, sports too, also is added to that kind of pop culture or that kind of trend of just like, yo, like, you know, not only are we just engaging in, like, you know, the non-tangible as far as watching cartoons or animes or things like that, but there's also the tangible part where we were just playing sports or, you know, being athletes or things like that, or just even talking about basketball or football or things of that nature. So I think that was the other cool part about my relationship with my friends is just talking about those things and not feeling ashamed about it too, because, like, I know that during my time, you know, people get bullied for that. As far as, like, certain, you know, topics or, you know, anime, this is like, oh, like, why y'all keep talking about it? It's just like, it's no different from the girls talking about makeup or whatever thing that, you know, that, or anything of that nature, you know what I'm saying? So I think that, like, you know, everybody had their own niche and the kind of groups that they kind of clicked to, and they talked about whatever or was a combination of variables of those things. And that's what created much of the essence of, like, these subgroups of pop culture, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was the dope part of it. When it comes to workers too, like, I think the same thing. I didn't talk too much about what I do outside of, like anime or whatever. They would know about it or something, but it wasn't, like, so deep in it, unless you have that one particular worker that'd be like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, you watch it too. I watch that too. You know what I'm saying? That we kind of, like, you know, have our back and forth about it, things like that. But more so, my dynamics is more with my friends and stuff like yeah. that. So, and even, like, oh, going into conventions, like, I go to AnimeCon. I mean,
I'm going to my first one this summer. I'm so excited. I've never been to one, hey. But I'm going to go for the first time this summer, and I'm super excited.
Yes, like, so I would go to Anime NYC. I've been to Comic-Con, but I don't go to it as much as, you know, compared to Anime NYC. So that's another part of pop culture as far as, like, those conventions and, like, seeing people cosplay, seeing people, you know, network and see people just, you know, in these different, like, you know, expensive getups, or whether it's inexpensive or expensive, it's just the thought and just the effort of just, like, seeing them out and just kind of popping off. So that also was played a part. It's also how I met some of my friends too, was through the convention. So it was a pretty dope experience as well. So the next thing I want to talk about, or the next question, do you think the broad categorization of pop culture has created more of a positive or negative impact on how most people think, feel, and act today?
Well, I do feel that, I'm trying to think of how to answer the question. So I do believe that there are certain elements within it that do affect how people think and feel and act. Not necessarily it being such a broad topic, because everybody knows what side of pop culture they exist in or what side of pop culture they relate to. So I don't necessarily think, you know, it being so broad is the problem. I think it's just the certain elements of pop culture that people decide to focus on that can sometimes affect how they think, feel, or carry themselves.
Okay, okay. When I thought about this question, I thought about how, you know, because pop culture has been expanded, you know, it has expanded to so many areas. Like, when you're thinking about the classic term of pop culture, it kind of narrowed down to usually either TV, music, I think media and probably news, if I'm not, or film and news and things of that nature. It was a very, like, narrow niche audience. And now I'm not saying that's as a bad or good thing. I'm just saying now with it being expanded, you know, now we're talking about, you know, music, art. We're talking about the way people dress, fashion, style, trends, social media, all these different outlets and things like that. I think that, like, in my if I had to say, you know, obviously it's a broad question, but if I had to say, generally speaking, I think it has created a bit more of a negative effect than positive. And I'm not saying that to deny the positive things that it has done. Pop culture has done great things as far as the positive impact and influence, and, you know, especially for younger children. But I'm thinking about more the negative impact as far as, like, how much avenues there is. Because the way I thought about it is that, like, with so many different avenues, there's so many different options. Yeah. And I think that kind of conflate with the people's choices. And, you know, especially social media playing a huge, major part in either being decisive or not. Because once you see somebody in social media and you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, let's say for, like, you know, they see a clothing trend that's popping off and things like that. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, that's cool, whatever. There's one thing that you could be inspired. And then there's the other part where just, like, I'm inspired, but now I want to be tapped in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you could appreciate somebody's work for what they do and not be too, like, in that fluctuation of, like, okay, like, do I be a part of it? Do I not? Like, you know, because I'm trying to be it. I'm not trying to be it.
Be a trend, kind of. And I feel like that's what happens to a lot of things. And I think that also comes from overconsumption. Like you said, yeah. People see something, it's like, oh, they're unique and they found their lane. I'm a hop on that lane too. I do believe that that's a problem because people just share, you know, themselves being themselves. And I feel like social media being a part of pop culture, people don't know who they are because they're pulling from so many different places. And I do feel like that is negative. Sense of identity lost.
Yeah. And then that's the thing that I want to expand on is the sense of identity, because I don't mind that you're influenced by something, but what are you influenced by? And how much is it affecting your well-being, your character, how you engage with other people, the relationship that you're trying to cultivate with people as well? Because sometimes that molding of the culture can kind of shift you into a good person, a bad person, neutral, whatever the case may be. And it kind of, like, loses your... You could probably lose yourself in the more material or superficial values of things and not really creating a substance with the person that you're trying to cultivate. So it's one thing where, like, you know, we're sharing ideas. Oh, like, I like your dress. You like my dress, whatever case it may be. I'm not wearing a dress. But you like my fit. I like your fit type of thing. And it's like, okay, now we're sharing some commonalities or relationship or something like that. But there's another part where it's just like, yeah, like, you know, this is me, blah, 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 like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it creates that ego, and then you kind of lose yourself in that identity, because now where's the substance? Where's that relationship? Where's that communication? So I think that's something that I'm concerned about as far as, like, you know, especially when you're a young person, like, you know, self-discovery, self-awareness, self-love, self-value is so pivotal, but it's also, it's an up and down battle, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like I said, social media plays a huge part as far as, like, how it shapes a lot of people's minds and how they act, that, like, you know, how much are we absorbing with the pop culture being added to that fluctuation and that augmentation of so many different things. That's what I mean by, like, the broad characterization, because there's nothing wrong with it, but it's like, where do you kind of put yourself in and where you don't really lose yourself?
Because, like, kind of we talked about how different elements of pop culture have influenced us as people. So I do feel like that it is important to consume different types of media and, like, watch different types of things, even if it's things that are outside of your normal realm of thinking, just to kind of understand and be well-versed. But when it gets to the point of kind of you making the whole thing your personality is when it gets scary. Like, the thing that I see a lot on social media is, like, oh, I'm in my XYZ era. Oh, I'm in my da-da-da-da era.
Oh, yeah.
Everything doesn't need to be an era. Everything doesn't need to be broken down. If you like that thing, you're allowed to just like that thing without making it your whole life for just a short period of time.
Yeah.
The whole era thing kind of throws me off. And it's like, even with something simple, like, I'm in my healing era. So when you stop healing, are you going to stop being a good person? Like, I don't know. It's a lot when I see that sometimes. And I do attribute some of it to the pandemic happening and a lot of people were just in the house and a lot of people lost the years of development being stuck in the house and being glued to their phones. And as you know, the world continues to open more and more, we're starting to see the results of that. And like yeah. also led to, you know, the loss of social skills or not being able to properly read social cues
yeah.
and overconsumption. When you're glued to your phone and then you see all this and all this information, you have all these things, you go into the real world, you're like, this doesn't match the world that I see on my phone because that's yeah. what they're used to all the time. So I think it's just a matter of you have to know when to cut it off. You have to know yeah. kind of reached your limit and kind of know when you've consumed too much. And
yeah.
I feel like people can sometimes sense when they're losing themselves, but they're becoming what the world deems to be acceptable or popular at the time. So it's like, okay, it's fine. I know this isn't something I'm normally into, but this is what's cool right now. So I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I see that so mm-hmm. often. And another like example or window within that is, for example, fashion trends come and go. And
yeah.
The fashion trend cycle right now is moving at such a rapid pace. You'll see people buy things and brands see what's trending and they'll make it within like a day's turnaround. And now
you see, you see that big boot thing, that Dora Explorer big boot, right thing?
The red boot. Yeah, the red boot.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, me personally, I love a good statement piece because I'm a fashion girl. So I love a statement piece. So, I mean, I don't see an issue with something like that. But when it's like, trend micro trends of, let's say it's a certain pattern and you know you don't like that pattern but you know it's what's popular yeah. so you're gonna buy it, but then in a month you're gonna take it and give it away or give it to a Goodwill. So now it's just like this rapid amount of waste that's happening in the fashion because of stuff like that. So that's an example of, I think, how people let fashion culture, just because a celebrity's wearing it, just because your fave is wearing it, you don't need it necessarily. You can like it and you can admire it, but you don't have to consume it. Especially, I see a lot of people buying stuff and they will say, oh, I kind of broke the bank on this, but I saw so-and-so with it, so I needed it anyway. No, you didn't. You didn't need to break your pockets just to kind of keep up with the Joneses. And I feel like that's a major issue too.
Yeah, I think that one thing, there was a term that I came across, and I use it in like a dating term. Like, it's called the paradox of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can use it for dating or when you go into a restaurant and you see so much list on the menu or so many foods and drinks options on the menu, and you kind of get too conflated by the choices because it's like, oh, what do I pick? Things like that. So it kind of, or possibility of losing decision-making skills. Because yeah. you're too lost in like the acts of all these options and things like that and all these choices you can make. And I see it no different from like the avenue of pop culture, because mm-hmm. with so many things fluctuating, like you even said with you know, these fashion designs and these fits and everything like that. Yeah, there could be statement pieces or things that kind of like go recycles or whatever the case may be. But it'd be one thing if someone, the designer, creates those cycles and stuff. But then the consumer is looking at this stuff because now it's creating consumer satisfaction.
Yeah.
And when you create that consumer satisfaction, you're only creating satisfaction in the moment and not satisfaction as everlasting. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's why people fall into to stress or depression or anxiety, because there's too many things that's happening so rapidly, especially mm-hmm. in the palm of our hands when it comes to a phone, a tablet, or something on our screen, because everything is on the tip of our fingers. You know what I'm saying? So I think that there's the, you know, like I said, the pros is like, you know, I love the cultivation. I love the communication, the relatability, something that you could create a conversation piece with somebody. But yeah. then there's the other effects of like, are we creating substance conversation? Are we valuing the people that we're connecting with? And also, can we not be so quick to jump on a trend without losing ourselves and things like that? So when it comes to the paradox of choice, it's just like, it creates this negative effect of anxiety, depression, and all these other things like that, and also decision making. I'm not saying that everybody's going to fall into it, but what I think most people, especially when we're talking about in America, has fell into that trap and things like that.
Yeah.
And then there's also a term that I came across was called, I think, paradox of value. So let's say that, like, you know, water, for example, everybody needs water, right? You either pay for water, you get access to water. But you know, I'm just using water as a base, so you could just pretty much paint the picture or get the point where I'm trying to say. So let's say, like, you know, there's a brand or clothing that you like, and then somebody will buy that in bulk or whatever, whether you're going on Amazon or something like that, instead of buying something essential, because the water is a total utility, while the brand or whatever things is not. It's just something temporary. But some people will value that over the value of like water. It's just, I'm just using water as an example, or any other thing that we necessarily need. And then people, and that's what you call misplaced priorities, because a lot of times when we are brought in something, we misplace our priorities because we're trying to be it for the moment and things like that. And be like, oh, but your bills is due. Your phone is not going to pay for yourself. You know, whatever. These things are not going to pay for itself. So I think that we have to try to balance ourselves. And then another thing, the important thing, is also taking time away from social media. If you're that kind of person that is it gets too influenced by what goes on social media, learn how to take a break. You know what I'm saying? I'm not too affected by that because, you know, it's part of my business. It's part of what I do is podcasting and also to network and to book people. But I know how to balance myself where I'm not like all too lost in. And now I'm hours in TikTok looking at so many different videos and things like that, or what's trending and things like that.
That is not good for your brain. That's the overconsumption of every, because especially on TikTok, you could watch a video about food and then you're seeing stuff about animals and then you're seeing some crazy news. And it's way too much. And I don't think that the mind was meant to consume that much content on so many different in such a short window of time. And I feel like it's, you can kind of see it, and you know, even having conversations with people, and then even the stuff in the conversation we see online, you can see the effect it's having, and it's honestly really scary. So I am seconding that. If you know the social media is too much for you, or you know you can take a break, it is okay to not go on there for even just a day. You will notice the difference it makes in your mental health if you just take a day and just don't even look at it. You will feel so at peace because you're not overwhelmed or you're not over consuming things.
I'm going to ask this other question. I'm going to type it in right now, but it's just another caveat. No, it's not a caveat, but another question. So what the negative effect has pop culture affected you as far as your day-to-day life, your personality? What are the negative effects that you've seen happen to you other than, you know, the positive stuff that contributed to, you know, your, you know, day-to-day life?
So I feel like, for me, it's kind of, I don't know if this is necessarily pop culture, but trying to keep up with appearances kind of, or trying to keep up with create, because I'm in the creative space, I'm a content creator, and I'm always on social media. And also outside of being a content creator personally, I work in marketing for an actual job. So I literally cannot escape social media, and I'm always consuming and I'm always seeing things. And I remember distinctly in 2020, I kind of was seeing, you know, all these creatives, all these high-end celebrity creators like coming out with all this stuff. And mind you, it's a pandemic. I'm in the house. I'm not really in a position to create or put out all this stuff. And I'm like, but I kind of want to. And I felt like I was lacking and missing out. And, you know, I was at the time also lacking creatively. I just wasn't having the inspiration, but I was inspired to create something. And I don't think I've ever really talked about this openly before, but I created like my little face bouquets, like flower face mask. And I did that for myself because I needed a change. I needed a change of pace. And then everybody was like, I need that. I want that. You should sell that. And I know that, you know, as an artist, you know, we create art for ourselves. And of course, you put it out there, people consume it, but it's not necessarily for them. It's supposed to be for, you know, I'm going to speak for myself, for me. That was for me. And I allowed the desire that people had for it and them saying they needed and they wanted and all this stuff. And I decided to put it out there, decided to make end up pre-orders and all this stuff. And that took the joy away from me. I didn't want to do it, but I was doing it and also was making money. So I'm like, okay, I have money now. So this is all good and this is all fine. But on the inside, I wasn't enjoying. Like I was posting pictures like, look at all these orders I got. I'm succeeding while the world is in shambles. But on the inside, I was an absolute mess. Like it was so bad. And it just, I felt like I lost myself for those months that I was doing that because I wasn't creating out of the love of creating. I was creating to keep up appearances and creating to kind of stay on par with my more famous counterparts or people who have more resources than me. And it's just, Yeah, that wasn't good. That wasn't a good time for me at all.
Yeah, because you brought up something that it reminded me something as me being an artist, because I do sketches, I do illustration and things like that. It was, like I said, it was like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, art was my oasis. And then when I shared that to other kids and students and teachers and things like that, there was a satisfaction or dopamine effect of like, oh my gosh, like people are liking my stuff. I'm getting these compliments and everything like that. And it was dope for the moment. But then you kind of lose that kind of love and flavor for the art, because then you get too enamored in that world. And yeah, there's times where, like, you know, that's something that you mentioned where like I battle between, do I keep this art to myself or do I share it, you know, on social media or to people in person and things like that? Because there's things that I cherish that I won't share to anybody. I even I have artwork stored in my closet somewhere that people, you know, have no access to unless I share them. And there's the ones that I do share and things like that. And then there was the other impact of like, you know, art turning into business. So I even battled with that. And it was like, I want to make money off of this because things, but then there's some people that supported me, some people are not supporting me, or some people just kind of like flaking in between that. And so I battled because that part of my pop culture that was a negative effect about me was also losing myself, as far as like I became too business savvy or too lost in other people's opinion about my artwork. There was even times where like I'll post the artwork and then one negative comment will like kind of like, oh man, I'm gonna take this out or things like that. So I was going through those motions and things like that, and then I understand how much of the value of my artwork that I just appreciate and love to do, and we just want to get back into. So, you know, I balance with the sense of like, okay, I can love art, I can do business, but I don't always have to feel like, you know, the pressure of either one, like, you know, having to do the art and having to maintain the business aspect of it and things like that. So that was something that kind of came to mind when you were talking about like, kind of like, do I preserve? Because everybody wants to put something out there on social media. I'm just like, damn, like keep it to yourself sometimes. Like never, everything don't need to put out. And then the other thing you mentioned too was like how some things that you kind of express is just to yourself. It was just, maybe it was a form of expression of your emotions or what you was going through, or just something that I did that just popped up that you just want to share. And it wasn't kind of, it wasn't made for you like, oh, can I buy this? Can I, like, well, how did you do this or whatever? It wasn't made for that also, but you kind of like have to embrace it because, you know, that comes with, you know, putting it on social media.
Because when you don't respond to that, it's kind of like, it seems like you don't appreciate the support or you don't appreciate the interest.
Yeah.
When you come off like that, it's like, well, these people are the people that give me this platform I have. I kind of have to give them what they want, even though this was just for me. And I feel like that's kind of a symptom, especially when you see like, and I see celebrities sometimes and my heart hurts for them because they will never know privacy ever. And nothing can ever just be for them because they're just so exposed. And people often like to say, well, you chose this life, so you put yourself out, but they chose this life because they're pursuing what they love and they just so happen to get famous from doing it. But they didn't ask you to invade their space. They didn't ask you to treat them less than a human. They don't ask you to invalidate them, but that's something that constantly happens. So when I was at that point, and even it got even worse because media publications started posting about what I was doing, and that made me feel like I had to try to take it up another notch. But again, I wasn't for me. I was doing it to try to keep up and maintain with the hype that was being provided to me. But at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. And so it made me think about another question is the balance of your personal life and things that you're trying to do to obviously like promote yourself and to put yourself and to be more recognized. Yeah. How was it look like for you as far as like, you know, trying to embrace all that as far as like certain aspects of your personal identity, the things that like maybe your family or small circles will know more about you. And then either you want to put that out or kind of not put that out. And then I'm like kind of sharing the other side, because, you know, we're multifaceted beings and things like that. So how is it like for you to kind of balance those transitions of personal aspect and things that you like, oh, like, there's a face, because some people will have a perception of you on social media, you know, things like that. So how was that like for you?
I learned that the hard way a little bit, because when I first started using social media, I was in high school. I honestly just had it to share stuff with my friends. Oh, we see something funny, we'll talk about it online. And once I moved away from home, you know, I wasn't with my family anymore. So I like kind of turned to social media a little bit because I didn't know anybody when I moved to California. It was literally just me in a dream. And I just, okay, let me post a little bit more. And I noticed like an audience starting to grow and I got kind of scared. I'm like, okay, so I don't necessarily want to post where I go to school, or I'm not going to post my favorite restaurant anymore because people might try to, you know, pull up on me there. So I kind of felt myself recluse a little bit online. And then people from online would meet me and they're like, you seem so much nicer in person, or you seem more vibrant in person versus online, because online people just kind of see a figure. And I try to be open and honest. I never put an image of myself out there that's not realistic. I don't lie about my life. I don't lie about my finances. But for whatever reason, I guess I kind of just give off a, what's the word? Like, I have it all figured out. But when in reality, I don't have it all figured out. I'm still learning. Even today, I'm still trying to figure out what direction my life is going in. So I try to balance, like, hey, I'm trying to get better about sharing my not so perfect moment so people don't think I have it all figured out, because all I've ever wanted with social media is to inspire people. I want people to see my journey and see where I'm coming from and see what I've been able to do and inspire them to pursue what they want to pursue for themselves. I never want to make anyone feel less than by what I'm sharing. I don't want to feel like make anyone feel like I'm better than them. That's the last thing I want to do. So once I realized me being super selective, me being more private online kind of gave people this negative perception about me, I kind of tried to be more vocal about my shortcomings. And also in the beginning, I wasn't extremely vocal about my faith. It was kind of like posting pretty pictures and whatever, and just kind of being like that. But I'm like, faith, my faith is a part of who I am. That's a big reason I am who I am. So I try to vocal about that too, because that's not something I should separate from my social media personality. But my username is literally Modern Day Esther, and most people may not even know who Esther is or know the story behind that. But I'm like, I need to exemplify that name and not just have it as a name. I know why I've been given that name and why my family even calls me Esther, even though Esther is not my birth name. My birth name is Shane. But
Because like, you know, even me, because like I go by the brand name, or even it's still kind of part of my personality is OBJ. And even though my actual name is James, and that a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, I share that sentiment as far as faith, because my name pretty much carries a biblical essence to it. You know, when we talk about the Apostle James, or the King James Version Bible. Or my middle name is Obina. So that's why it's OB is short for Obina. And Obina means God's heart or God's will. Mm-hmm. And I even have that on my bio and things like that. If people would have connected that, they would have, you know, made that correlation. And Anawai means that I'm here to stay. So it carries a weight of substance that I'm proud about, you know, carrying, you know, the Nigerian culture, the Panamanian culture, and also the American culture that, like, you know, that I raised in. And also, you know, shout out to my mom for maybe, you know, helping me raise into a Christian faith-based culture, because that's a strong part of my life. And even a strong part of like my gifts, my talents, my transitions, my growth, my experiences, everything like that. And even in tying into all that with OBJ, you know, with God, art, anime, entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Me doing this podcast, me being expressing myself, who I am, and not trying to, because some people will have their personality and their business personality. And I don't feel like mine is not too much different. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see the same person that you're going to see when I represent myself as OBJ and things like that. I'm going to be serious at times. I'm going to be goofy. I'm going to be artful. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be chill. I'm going to be talkative and passionate and things like that. But that's all a part of who I am. And I don't lose myself. Obviously, there was times when I did, and I was just like, you know, I'm just like, oh, like, you know, who am I? Like, you know, who's the man that I want to become and things like that. And I think that's all part of, like, you know, my faith and like growing into that, you know, that wisdom and having that discernment to kind of have that distinction. Because with now tying in with pop culture, you know, and everything that's going on, it's just like, and even social media, it's just like, okay, like, I see what's going on. And it's just like, yeah, you want, I think everybody wants a sense of belonging, but who do you put yourself belonging to? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that's an important part as far as like not part of one part of pop culture is who are you keeping in your community? You know, the friends, the people that's genuine, the people that's supportive, the things that like I can express myself without losing myself. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's an important part. But to close up this topic, you know what I'm saying? We will have an after hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Sign up to our Patreon. Get exclusive access to the after hour conversation. But to close off, a dose of reality. So this is pretty much a reality check based on the conversation that we had. So what was something that you learned within this conversation or something that you want to share to the audience about modern pop culture?
I kind of want to go back to kind of something that you were talking about a little bit. I feel like me personally, my faith is the reason why I'm not super affected by pop culture and why I'm not super swayed by the things that I see, because I always use the analogy of an anchor. You know, I'm solid in my center because I know who I'm living for and things like that and know what my values are. But even if you do not have, you know, a belief in faith or you have a different belief, I think a big part of not getting sucked up by all that is pop culture is you just have to know who you are. You have to know your identity. Like, don't put your identity in a thing or another person. You have to be solid in yourself. And I feel like that goes with a lot of things, even going into different environments. Know who you are going into those environments. Know what your intentions are. I left my family when I was 18 years old to just go to college, 3,000 miles away. Never had been away from my family for that long. And everybody's like, why would you do that? That's crazy. But I know how I was raised. I know my values. I know I was coming over here to pursue my career, pursue my dreams. I was locked in. And I thank God that I never once like fell off the tracks or never lost my way. And not to say that bad if you do, because sometimes people do have to learn through experience and that's just a reality. But just learn, know who you are. I think that's just the biggest thing I can say. Don't be consumed or don't be overwhelmed by the things, because we hear and see so much. It's kind of impossible. And a lot of the pop culture news that I consume is but not by my own volition. It's just kind of thrown at me. But you know who you are, and you know if something crazy comes up, just like, that's not for me. That's not this thing for me. But I'm aware of it and I see it and I can have conversations about these things without it tweaking who I am or changing who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just to add on, it's just like there's too many ideologies, there's too much ideas thrown in our faces a lot of times, and it can be a lot. And I think it's just one thing about my faith is having discernment. It's like making the distinction to know like what's good for you and what's not good for your soul and what's good for your spirit and things of that nature. So, you know, make sure you have like a good vessel of good things, of good values, of good people to internalize. And then when you outpour it, it's just like, you know, you're giving out with love, you're giving out with energy, and you're giving out with a sense of like just embracing and being confident in who you are. So, yeah. Esther, where can they follow you?
My TikTok is Modern Day Esther, all one word. And my Instagram is modern_day_Esther. Those are my two primary forms of social media. If I have something going on, you'll see me post about it there. I talk a lot about different things on there. I share makeup content, I share art content, and you can learn a bit more about me and how I think on those platforms.
Dope. Make sure you follow and support. You can follow me on Instagram at TheObijay. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at The Black Pill Podcast. And also subscribe, press that notification bell, and get notified every time when we go live or dropping a video and things of that nature. Also, sign up to our Patreon because we're going to have an after-hour conversation. So you want to, you know, stick around for that, and you know, sign up, become a Patreon member, and get exclusive access to our after-hour conversation and all that jazz, things of that nature. But this concludes this episode of the Black Pill Podcast. This is the Black Pill Squad signing out.
What up, everybody? Once again, this is OBJ, founder and leader of Black Pill Society. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, but if you want to hear more, sign up to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/theblackpillsociety. Get exclusive access to our after-hour talks where things get a lot more interesting. And join a community that is cultivating a space for genuine Black creative striving to become better each and every day. So sign up today, become a member, and I hope to hear from you soon. This is OBJ, signing out.